Hi, this is Bruce Iglauer, founder and president of Alligator Records in Sweet Home Chicago, and I'm here with my friend John the Rock Doctor. We're celebrating Alligator's 50th anniversary in this special podcast for GonzoOkanagan.com.
Welcome to the show. I hope you're ready for 2 hours of great blues with me and my special guest, Bruce Iglauer. All of the songs you're about to hear come from Alligator Records' three-disc 50th anniversary compilation. It all started in 1971. But how? Here's Bruce.
I came to Chicago. I'm not a native. I came to Chicago for the blues, and originally to work for another record label, Delmark, and then pretty quickly after that to start my own.
Could you quickly tell the story of how Alligator Records came to be? I understand you were a Hound Dog Taylor fan.
Well, it was and am. Yeah, I was working at Delmark Records as a shipping clerk. But I was hanging out every night on the south side and the west side in the black neighborhoods at the blues bars. And in January of 1970, I heard about a Sunday afternoon gig at a little club called Florence's Lounge on the south side. Just a neighborhood bar, not even a stage or a PA system. They just move a table or two and put a band in. And I went down to see, I met Hound Dog Taylor, and I knew he was a funny looking and jovial guy, but I didn't think he was a very serious musician.
Right.
He seemed to be more one of the people that everybody liked because he was a fun guy to hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into this club packed with people at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the music just kind of swept over me. It was the most physical, most rhythmic, most fun music that I had ever heard in my life. I can't dance, and even I could dance Hound Dog Taylor.
Oh, wow.
These three musicians were just having the time of their lives, doing what they did every Sunday afternoon and other nights during the week as well. They're just playing through on cheap guitars, through crummy amplifiers, and making what they would happily call a racket. The music was so raw. Hound Dog played a $50 guitar, and he played through a Sears and Roebuck department store amplifier turned to 10, as was the guitar. So it was just sheets of distortion, and it was the most wonderful sound. And I went back to my boss at Delmark Records and said, "You've got to record these guys." And he had heard Hound Dog sitting in. Sitting in, Hound Dog was pretty much of a disaster.
Right.
People couldn't follow him. Only with his own band did the music make sense.
Right.
So my boss didn't think that this was a band worthy of recording, and I've got to admit that part of the thing I presented, part of the way I presented it was, "And you should let me produce them," which was pretty pretentious.
Well, you were a 23-year-old college kid just out of college, weren't you?
Right, and I'd been in the studio a few times watching Bob, but I certainly had no other production experience. You know, I had probably more balls than I should have.
More enthusiasm than anything else.
Well, a sense of knowing what the band sounded like and what they ought to sound like on records, which was an important part of the way I was thinking. You know, trying to capture this live vibe in the studio, which has been a lot of my goal as a producer over the years, because I enjoy hearing music live so much, and I want records that don't feel like records. They're records that feel like gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
So eventually, when I couldn't talk my boss into it, I scraped together, I had a little inheritance, I had $2,500, and with $2,500, I went and recorded this band for 2 evenings, direct to 2-track. We mixed it as we went. There was no coming back and mixing it later.
Mm-hmm.
We just laid it down as it was being played, and I paid the band, and I pressed up 1,000 albums. And that's how I started the company in a one-room apartment in kind of a seedy neighborhood in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the thing I did next was to hit the road and start visiting radio stations.
Right.
And often sleeping in my car just to try to create some excitement.
Give me back my wit, or then I'll let your head go. Give me back my wit, or then I'll let your head go. Real have nothing. Too. When you get that way. everything gonna be all right. Oh, yeah. When I was a little girl, only 12 years old, save my doggone soul. My mama told me the day I was grown, she said, sing the blues, child, sing it from now on. I'm a woman, oh yeah, I'm a woman, I'm a ball of fire. I can make love to a crocodile. I'm a woman. I can sing the blues. I'm a woman. I can change old and new. Spell W-O.
John the Rock Doctor. We're celebrating Alligator's 50th anniversary in this special podcast for GonzoOkanagan.com.
I'm so damn mad, I don't know what to do. I bought a brand new car. She riding everybody that's all around town, don't want to let me ride. What's wrong with this woman? Yeah, I'm going to tell everything I know. Now she's going to pass by now. I'll be standing right there on this corner when she comes back home. I'm going to tell everybody right now. I'm in love with you, baby. I let it hang on the moon, yeah. loved you, baby. I never been on your own, baby. You see, I know you don't get no car, but you got too many drivers at the wheel. One driver at daytime, you got about two drivers at night. I ain't no two or three drivers, gonna treat your little car right. Oh, baby, I didn't have to ride you all alone, yeah. See, I know you got a good little car, darling, but you got two little drivers at the wheel. Check your oil, baby. Your oil was low. When I check your battery, you know your horn wouldn't blow. Oh, baby, just let me ride your horn in my own beer. You see, I know you're not a good little car driver, but you got too many drivers at the wheel. You said you want to know, baby, know the way I feel. Put one arm around me, put the right on the wheel, oh baby, I'm gonna let it ride you on a mobile. You see, I know you got a good little car, but you got too many drivers at the wheel.
James Cotton with Little Car Blues. I'm a woman from Coco Taylor and Hound Dog Taylor's Give Me Back My Wig. I'm John the Rock Doctor, and you're listening to the 50th anniversary celebration of Alligator Records, and my special guest is label founder Bruce Iglauer, who tells us how he discovered the blues.
When I discovered the blues, I didn't discover the blues by reading about it or being told about it. I discovered the blues by hearing it.
Right.
And once I became addicted, which was very quick, then I went back and started reading about artists and finding out other artists that I should be listening to and exploring the history of the music. So my feeling is that if I can get this music to people's ears, that addiction will follow. And when the addiction follows, then I don't have to do anything because the listeners will be seeking out the music and trying to follow the paths. So when they listen to Albert Collins, they'll read a little bit and they'll say, oh, I got to check out this guy Gabe Mouth Brown or this guy T-Bone Walker or this guy Johnny Guitar Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Once it starts, it tends to be a lifelong addiction.
Well, the first thing Monday morning, I drank black coffee to clear my head. Yes, every Monday morning I drank black coffee to clear my head. Because every Sunday night without you, baby, it's blue money, you know, baby, you know my soul is dead. Big boss man, I can hear you call my name. Yes, big boss man, big boss man. hear you call my name. You know I just don't feel like it this morning, baby. It's a sin, you know, ain't it a shame?
Cry. cry just like a baby all night long. Oh, I need somebody here. I need somebody here in my home. Oh, there.
Alligator's 50th anniversary in this special podcast for GonzoOkanagan.com.
Say you do. Climb a wall
Lonnie Brooks's Cold Lonely Nights, Fenton Robinson's Somebody Loan Me a Dime, and the legendary Albert Collins with Blue Monday Hangover. You're listening to the 50th anniversary special celebration of Alligator Records with my special guest, Bruce Iglauer, who explains to us the appeal of the blues.
When I came to Chicago, you know, somebody said to me, a musician said to me, don't think that the blues is a sad music. You listen to the blues to get rid of the blues. You know, blues music came out of a very oppressed community, Southern black people, who were caught in this horrible economic system where they were primarily sharecropping and doing labor jobs. It was virtual slavery. And they had little education because they had no opportunity for education and they had to start working very young and no opportunity to be anything except poor. A lot of these people migrated north to Chicago and also to Detroit and Cleveland and Milwaukee and St. Louis. But in Chicago, where I started the label, it was said that if you couldn't get a job in Chicago, you couldn't get a job.
Right.
So the music came with them, and it slowly evolved. Now the tradition is worldwide. The sound of blues is well known, but the emotional effect of blues, the telling real life stories that sometimes just are happy and danceable.
Right.
But sometimes reach in and tell you things about what's happened in your life that make you relive it and relive some pain. But the good part is that you're reliving it with the musician who's performing the song, or recording the song, and if it's live, with the audience. So you recognize that the pain you felt, you know, when, you know, your woman or your man did you wrong, is something that the person at the next table felt or the person who's singing the song felt. So when you're carrying around this kind of pain, and we all do, if you feel that you're the only person in the world who's felt this, it's much stronger and harder to deal with than if you feel as though this is something that happens universally and somebody else is singing the story of your life. So I talk about the blues as being like, you feel like you're a wet sponge and the music is wringing you out. And while you're getting squeezed and wrung out, it's pretty uncomfortable. But afterwards, it feels great.
My fault for coming home from work early last night. My fault for coming home from work early last night. Oh, I didn't know that you had come to me, baby. Girl, and I wasn't in no condition to fight. If I had known you had come in, darling, you know I would have had Wheaties for my lunch. If I had known you had come in, baby, girl, I would have had Wheaties for my lunch. Oh, the man was twice my size. I do believe he was packing a Joe Louis point. It's my fault for letting the big times come between our happiness. It's my fault for letting the big times come between our happiness. Oh, I realize now I could have stayed home with you and the children, baby. Well, I could avoid it all this mess. wasn't in no condition to fight. If I had known you had come here, darling, you know I would have had Wheaties for my lunch. If I had known you had come here, baby, girl, I would have had Wheaties for my lunch. Oh, the man was twice my size, and I do believe he was packing a shoulder's point.
Thank you. Hi, this is Bruce Iglauer, founder and president of Alligator Records in Sweet Home Chicago, and I'm here with my friend John the Rock Doctor. We're celebrating Alligator's 50th anniversary in this special podcast for GonzoOkanagan.com.
To work on you. Well, I'm going back to Louisiana. I'm gonna snatch me a mojo hand. Well, I'm going back to Louisiana. I'm gonna snatch me a mojo hand. Watch me if I don't. Get your on command, on the mind command.
Got my mojo working from Clarence Gapemouth Brown, Sun Seals' Telephone Angel, and It's My Fault, Darling from Professor Longhair. John the Rock Doctor here with Alligator Records 50th Anniversary Special. Got songs up next for you from Smoke and Joe Kubek, Mavis Staples, and Kenny Neal. And as we continue, Bruce compares this three-disc box set to previous anniversary anthologies.
Obviously, the other anniversary collections were two CDs, and in the earlier ones, the CDs wouldn't hold as much music. So it was a shorter number of songs per CD.
Right.
This one is three, and as I said, they're jam-packed, 78 minutes each. So I had more opportunity to include more music, but I'm still very aware of what I left off. And I feel bad that I didn't represent, you know, artists like Floyd Dixon, for example.
Right.
I wish that I had had space for that.
Maybe at some point, I don't know if this is even a thing anymore, but you could consider an Alligator Records box set.
Well, you know, I considered that for this project, but I wanted to keep the price for the consumers as reasonable as I possibly could. And in fact, both in the 3-CD version and in the 2-LP sort of best of the best version that's coming out as well, I priced them so that I hope that everyone could afford them. They're budget, basically budget priced.
I was raised there on Jimmy Reed. Cornbread, collard greens, and black eyed peas. I took my first bath in muddy water. So all you mother, look out for your daughter. I'm a blues man, a blues man. I'm original, one of a kind. Don't do nothing but what's on my mind. Got no ball, man howling me. Out here on the road, I'm totally free. I'm a blues man, a blues man, a blues man, a blues man.
it's a sign of the times. You can feel it in the air. You can see it on the faces of people everywhere. You can hear it on the streets. You can see it on the news. Lord, I do believe there's a devil on the loose. Boys are running with the guns. Girls having babies too young. Father, leave before they're born. Leaving the girl to mourn. Mothers praying, worried, crying that their babies out there dying. Lord, there's a devil on the loose, and you know he's lying. Yes, there's a devil on the loose. There's a devil going wild. There's a devil on the loose for every woman and child. There's a devil on the prowl. He's long overdue, and he's working hard for the souls of people like me and you. Turning mothers against daughters, fathers against sons, nation against nation, thrive on the evil that's done. He's a desperate devil, 'cause the Lord's coming back someday. He's got to get his people to deal. He's got to get his people to lie. He's got to get his people to kill. He's got to keep his people high. He's got to get his people together. He's gonna talk them into suicide. Any way he get the people dying, he's gonna devour them like a lion. It's a sign of the times. You can feel it in the air. See him on the streets. You can hear it on the news. Lord, I do believe there's a devil on the loose. Lord, I do believe there's a devil on the loose. Oh, Lord, I do believe there's a devil on the loose.
Hi, this is Bruce Iglauer, founder and president of Alligator Records in Sweet Home Chicago, and I'm here with my friend John the Rock Doctor. We're celebrating Alligator's 50th anniversary in this special podcast for GonzoOkanagan.com.
I can tell already by the way he talks to you. He won't stick around, no, he won't be true. Don't lose my mama, babe. You might need it someday. If you do call, maybe I'll still feel his way. Well, he hopped and left town, called you after the fact. Didn't care enough to say when he'd be back. Don't lose my number, babe. You might need it someday. And when and if you do call, maybe I'll still feel his way. We'll be right back. someone else. Left you here in town all by yourself. I'll lose my number, babe. You might need it someday. And when and if you do call, maybe I'll still feel this way. Come back to town, said he just wanted to be your friend. But when he got a little lonesome, it was your bed that he jumped in. Lord knows my number, babe. You might need it someday. And when and if you do call, maybe I'll still feel this way. Feel this way.